Good morning, Antioch. As I get prepared here, get started, let's see what I can get myself together here. All righty. As you know, Pastor Marilyn's out today, but she will be okay. Amen. I reckon it to kind of like I have a friend, a coworker at work who was in an accident about a year and a half ago, and she had a broken pelvis. And so even today, she's still going through different treatments to recover, and they're finding different things wrong as she goes through this process. It's like an earthquake. You have a first major earthquake, and then you have these aftershocks and tremors afterwards, and that's kind of like what my friend and Pastor Marilyn's going through right now, those aftershocks. But they'll get through it. They'll get through it. Amen? All right, so let's open up in a word of prayer. Right. The musicians get down there. That's good. Yeah, all right. No, we never go without anybody in prayer. That's right. You know, we include everybody. We're all inclusive. No exclusivity here. Let's all bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, we are thankful for being here today, and we pray, Lord God, that your word would impact us all, Lord God, and that you would just begin to change our hearts, Lord, as we seek to honor our mothers, Lord God, and wherever they may be, whether they're here or somewhere else or across the country, or maybe you've taken them home already, Lord God, but we seek to honor them this day, Lord God, and we love you for all that you've given us. We love you for our mothers, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Let's all say amen. Amen. All right. So today I'm going to talk to you about a mother called by God. The scripture you can find in Luke chapter 1, verses 34 to 38. If you'd like to find it in your Bibles, and we'll just take a quick moment to read that verse. I think we will. I have to find it in my Bible as well. And once you do have it, and if you are able, please stand. If you're still struggling to find it, I don't know where it's at in the church's Bible. 7:15. But those with the digital should have it already. As I say that, I don't have mine. All right. Luke chapter 1, verses 34 to 38. It reads, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Amen. Please be seated. So for the few men that we have here today, I read a couple articles recently. And one of them said was, it's about Mother's Day and things like that. And so it implied a certain thing. So here it is. This is what it implied. Well, I'm just going to read the statement. You know what it implies. One of the men was trying to encourage other men to do something for their wives. The first thing he said was, "Try praising your wife, even if it does frighten her at first." Drove by a church recently. This is not a comedy scene, but anyway. Drove by a church recently, and I saw a sign that said, "If evolution is true, how come mothers still only have two hands?" Right? All the things they juggle. Amen? Amen? All right, so, mothers. Here's an illustration of the mothers. A mother was putting her son to bed on the eve of his fifth birthday, and she was trying to communicate to him that birthday ideal to him. She said, "Kevin, this is the last night of your fourth night. Do you understand that?" And Kevin was ready to communicate with his hands, so he said, he has shown people all year long for the full year that he had four fingers. So now He showed his four fingers. Mom sees that and says, okay, great, great. When you go to sleep tonight, you'll still be 4 years old. But do you know how old you'll be in the morning when you wake up? Kevin nodded enthusiastically. Yes, I got this. He added his thumb to his four fingers and he said, tomorrow I will be a handful. That's what mothers deal with every day. It's a wonderful thing that God's word has so many messages about moms, messages for parents, dads, grandparents. You know, so the famous one I'm talking about today is Mary. Mary. A mother called by God, she does several things. And the first thing she does is she submits to God's will completely. When Mary was only a teenager, she was confronted with the challenge to be completely, y'all do know she was a teenager, right? When that happened, she was a teenager. She was completely submitted to God's will when Gabriel gave her the angelic message that she was to carry the Christ. Mary was stunned. The key phrase, though, was, I am the Lord's servant, may it be. Mary never wavered from her complete submission to God's will. She was nervous. She was unsure of her own abilities, of course. Who wouldn't be? I mean, how could she know the future pain that was going to? She was going to have to see from her own son? Mary was a little like the mother who sits up late at night, far past her bedtime, waiting for the date to be over. She was like the father who said the silent, heartfelt prayer as he watched his child drive away from the house, taking all those raw instincts into the streets of great danger. Mary was like any parent in this room who wanted only the best, only the most protection for her child, and fully aware that life happens and not all of life is pleasant. But Mary was unlike a lot of parents in the world today. Mary was first of all completely committed to God. She was so committed to God, she had no room for commitment to anything else, and that made her a mother worth imitating. That's the first one. Second one, a mother called by God does not have to be perfect. So that's great news. Everybody's happy about that? It's great news. You don't have to be perfect. Here's a lady named Linda Huckins of Malden, Massachusetts. Tried perfection one day. On the day her daughter got married, as she tells the story, she went to the front of the church to light a candle. One of three candles, she was going to light one of them. Not realizing there was a potential hazard, she said she got too close and set her acrylic nail on fire. Right there in front of everybody. So, panic. Trying not to ruin her daughter's big day, she calmly lit the candle from her flaming nail, and then like a gunslinger, blew it out. Needless to say, her blackened nail was the talk of the whole reception, right? Her nail was all black, but she blew it out calmly. You all know Dr. Benjamin Carson, right? Everybody familiar with that name? Ben Carson? Yeah, Ben Carson. Everybody knows Ben. Whatever you may think of Ben, Ben's a great guy. Yeah. Well, let's talk about Ben a little bit real quick. Dr. Benjamin Carson, renowned surgeon of Johns Hopkins, tells a moving story about his mother. Mrs. Carson insisted that Ben and his brother Curtis write a book report every couple of weeks. And it wasn't for school either, just for her. Book report just for her. And I wish the kids were here to hear this, because that would be great. You could write a book report every couple of weeks. Sam, book report to your dad every week. There you go. This wasn't for school, just for mom. And Ben and Curtis dutifully obeyed her. About the time he was in junior high, Ben finally realized something quite shocking. His mom couldn't read. So for years, Ben had read books, scratched out reports, assuming that his mom was checking every word, but she didn't have a clue what he was saying. Now consider this. Raised by an illiterate mother, Ben grew up to be a world-famous surgeon who was featured in many articles with the author of several books. His illiterate mom didn't twist her hands over her lack of learning. and give her hope on raising intelligent boys, she didn't give up at all. She kept going. She pushed them to do what they need to do. She gave her boys what she had, interest, accountability, the courage to demand extra work. That's in his book called Gifted Hands by Ben Carson, if you want to read that. It's probably pretty good. Despite the fact that she was the mother of Jesus, Mary wasn't perfect. When Jesus performed his first miracle, Mary's conversation is the most unusual part of the water turned into wine story. Jesus said to Mary, "Woman, why do you involve me in this? It's not my time." Two things. First, a word to the children. They're not here, though, but you teenagers, and some of you who are still children, don't try this at home, right? You don't do this at home. You don't speak back to your parents like that. You don't do that kind of thing. Second thing, think of the awkwardness of the situation. Mary's request and conversation with Jesus appears to be out of line and what Jesus was ready to do. Though Jesus performed the miracle, there's a feeling that he did so in part because his mother put him on the spot. Just for mom. It's not a clear indication of Mary's imperfection. If that's not a clear indication of her imperfection, a second case is when Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brother are, they're outside and want to speak to you." He replied, "Who is my mother? Who is my brothers? Or who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and here are my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother," right? If Mary understood, if she really understood the task of Jesus, would she have tried to interrupt him or even agree with his unbelieving brothers that his ministry needed to be tempered? Stopping the ministry of Jesus, even for a little while, that was a mistake on Mary's part. But it's okay. We've all made mistakes in the past. You certainly made a mistake or two today by letting me come up here, and you'll make more mistakes tomorrow. But through it all, God will love you. He will work with you. He will accept you. Through it all, your task of mothering and or of grandmothering will be accomplished. How many women have been discouraged by the last few words of Proverbs? It is there that the author writes the perfect woman. I gotta get this out of my way because it's kinda, I can't see. Got bad enough I had to use glasses. There are 22 lines in the poem, and each of them begins with successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It is an acrostic poem that speaks of an imaginary woman. She never sleeps. She always works. Okay, so that part of the poem, that is reality. The woman always works, all the time, never sleeps. But in the poem, she manages a fleet of ships. She runs a farm. She manages a staff. She sews like a fashion expert. She cooks, she cleans, she homeschools her children. Whew! She has a feast waiting on her husband when he arrives home from his much less demanding job. My goodness, isn't that great? Oh man, and she needs no carpool whatsoever. She puts on her supermother cape and just flies around, gets the children to the next appointment, no big deal. If we were to see in English what we can't see in Hebrew, perhaps it would be a poem that says A is for apple pie that she bakes, B is for babies she loves, C is for cleaning the house, right on down to Z for the zoo that she manages every day. Any woman who tries to emulate the woman of Proverbs 31 will understand the first line that says, "A wife like this, who can find her?" Because, that's just amazing. Number three, a mother called by God never will relinquish the title. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Mary didn't stand, passively by at the foot of the cross, as if she had already were made out of stained glass or something like that. She crumbled at the cross. She fell down to the depths there, moaning and wailing and begging the God of heaven to stop her hell on earth. Right? The truth of Simeon's prophecy at the birth of Jesus was suddenly true. The cross deeply, deeply cut into Mary's heart. Despite the pain, however, how much pain that was to see her son on that cross, Mary was there. She was a mother from the beginning and a mother at the end. A mother called by God never relinquishes her title. You'll find mothers like that in the halls of children's hospitals and funeral homes and counselor's offices. You know, when a kid goes to school and acts up like a fool and you have to go there, the mother's there. Dad, man, I can't get off work. I'll be there as soon as I can. I'll deal with it when I get home. You know, but the mom's there. Mothers never relinquish their title. Even if the child is rebellious, harsh, and cruel. Anybody have a rebellious child ever? Has your children ever rebelled against you, been cruel to you, said mean things to you? Yeah, that's right. We've got them. But your heart would not allow it, not when you're called by God. Your heart would not allow you to relinquish that title. Sometimes the most difficult decision a mother will ever make comes right at the beginning. They continue to be that brave lot of young women who realize that under the rarest circumstances, the best gift they can give their child is the gift of adoption. And we've seen that happen before. And all over the world, there are painful giving up the baby is a whole lot like the painful of giving up the son on the cross. But even at that moment of giving up, a mother's love dominates the scene. It is sacrificial, it is painful, but it's a loving moment of care. And mothers who give their children to families patiently waiting by need to be applauded, loved, and recognized for that sacrifice. When a woman becomes a mother, when a man becomes a father, there's an instant realization that the day will almost certainly come when pain will dominate the picture. The crosses are different for each family, but the crosses do come. There may be divorce, there may be disease or death, there will be harsh words, even sometimes unacceptable actions. There may be tough love, impossible nights. But through it all, mothers called by God never relinquish their title. Never. There's nothing like a mother's love. So Mary had a chance to see God's entire plan played out. She suffered through the crucifixion, celebrated the resurrection, and even was part of a small group that witnessed the powerful presentation of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. What a gift from God to live long enough for parenting to make sense. You know, live long enough to see that your parenting skills, all the things you've done, actually make sense. Some parents live long enough to see God's plan for their children. Some see God working in the lives of their grandchildren. Some surely only see God's plan from the halls of heaven. It's a bit unusual to close a message from a newspaper comic strip, but anybody ever seen Family Circus comic strip? It may be kind of, I don't know if it's still in the newspaper now because I don't read the newspapers anymore, but it may still be there. One of the young experts announced in the comic book, in the comic strip said, "Storks don't bring babies, they come by UPS. Some of the other children had different ideals, but the best saved for last was, babies are connected to their mothers by a biblical cord. Not an imbiblical cord, but an unbiblical cord, but a biblical cord. Your biblical cord. Every idea from this message comes from the Bible. There are so many solid principles that you can find in the Bible about this. There's one last thing I want to share with you. You know, when you have these impromptu moments where your pastor calls you up on the phone and says, "Hey, guess what I'm doing today?" And you know, you have to speak or something all of a sudden. I found a quick, short, maybe somewhat short, Mother's Day sermon by a pastor who was caught off guard. He was told to prepare a Mother's Day sermon, and he was on the schedule. He didn't know it, he forgot, whatever, boom. So here it is. So he says, it's called No Condemnation, a Mother's Day Sermon. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So, mothers, if you're in Christ Jesus, you do not have to fear condemnation. You stand in the righteousness of Christ, and are loved by God as his daughter because Christ's work on your behalf on the cross. So mothers, even though you may feel you are not condemned by your messy home. You are not condemned by your lack of desire to homeschool. You are not condemned by your personal sins. You are not condemned by the difficulty of caring for a child with special needs. You are not condemned by the knowledge of how easy it is for you to love one child more than another. You are not condemned by miscarriages. You are not condemned by your lack of desire to have more kids. You are not condemned because you have no desire to adopt. You are not condemned, even though you feel it, when you read another's perfect parenting moment on Facebook. You are not condemned by your inability to cook. You are not condemned because your kids are not, quote, normal, unquote. You are not condemned because you are divorced or unmarried or doing it alone. You are not condemned by your desire to be alone, away from your kids, for a time, every single day. You are not condemned by your body, which is not what it once was. You are not condemned by your repeated failures as a mother. You are not condemned by your rebellious children. You are not condemned by frustration of having to scrape mac and cheese off your kitchen floor again. You are not condemned by all the fears and tears which flirt with insanity and take you to the precipice of despair. You are not condemned by not being able to throw the birthday party of the year for your kids. You are not condemned for not feeding your kids homemade meals whose ingredients were recently purchased at Whole Foods. You are not condemned by your need for a vacation without the kids. You are not condemned because you cannot take your kids on exciting vacations. You are not condemned for not living up to the standards of your mother or your mother-in-law. You are not condemned by the stares of those who don't have kids when yours erupt into a volcanic screams in public places. So even though you feel condemned, mothers, if you are in Christ, you are not condemned, and that is the real reality of this world. Thank you. Amen. So I don't have any counselors here today. So, for those who don't know, Nedra is